Maine, Maine, Maine Outdoors. From Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine Outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway, so get outside and find it in the Maine Outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine Outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors.
Good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest running outdoor talk radio program. And we always invite you to be part of our program every week. If you'd like to do so, we have a statewide toll-free number, which is
1-800-966-1039. And dial the whole number, even if you're local, 1-800-966-1039.
And you're listening to us on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network. That's 101.3, 103.9, and 95.1 in Rockland.
Very good, sir.
And if you're living in Paris, France, for example, yeah, you can actually hear us live. We're streaming live around the world. We still have trouble believing that, but it's true. It's actually true.
Absolutely.
Anyway, welcome to our program tonight. We hope you had a pleasant and safe 4th of July. We have two interesting guests tonight. I'll introduce them in just a moment. But first, the radio crew that make this show possible year after year for the past, I don't know, 25 or 30 years, right, Norm?
Oh, I haven't been around that long.
You haven't?
But the show is.
Well, I have.
We'd have to get Jim on the air.
We do, yeah. The man behind the controls in the operations center, we know him popularly as the sweetheart of Grand Lake Stream, Norman Plord.
Good evening, and how's everybody tonight?
We're doing good.
Yeah.
And my co-host is a registered Maine guide. He's a former deputy game warden. He's written a bunch of great books on trout fishing. My friend, Bob Lehman.
Thank you, sir. And let me say thank you, thank you very much for a big lobster feed by the Reynolds family on the 4th.
Weren't those good lobsters, huh?
Oh, man. And the corn was exceptionally good.
Oh, delicious corn.
Everything was great.
Yeah, we had a good time.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fireworks. It was great.
I didn't stay for that because the dog is scared, so I had to get him out of there.
Yeah, you had to drug the dog.
It was great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, nice to have you there, Bob. And I like your shirt. You're so sartorial tonight, as you are. When are you going to give me one? You got so many shirts in the closet.
I gave you a whole bunch of them. I could probably give you some more.
I like those L.L. Bean plaid ones.
Hey, I'll trade to get some of them back I gave you, and I'll give you some new ones.
Okay. That sounds good. Our guests tonight, they're both Maine guides. They guide moose hunters, deer hunters, bear hunters. And they have a wonderful new option for you video-wise. The name of it is called Hunting M.E., that's hunting, like the normal term hunting, M-E for Maine. And I had a chance to see these videos, and I was really smitten by the quality of them. And we're going to talk with the folks who designed these. They're just wonderful videos. And they are, in this order, the old man is John Altman. He's the head of the group, and his son Will Altman, both from Brooksville. Welcome to our show, gents.
Great, thanks. Really nice to be here.
Nice to have you here.
Yeah, we enjoy it.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about their videos in a few minutes. First, a couple of other things we're going to get to. You've got the phone number, and we want to remind you again that the podcasts are also available. You can see our previous programs if you want to by going to WVOM-FM and just click on podcasts, and you can listen to the old broadcast. A couple of things here. Remember, the show is sponsored in part every week by the Northwood Sporting Journal, my favorite publication, and yours as well.
Absolutely.
I paid you to say that, right?
Yes, you did. Okay. You're a little shy this week, but maybe catch up next week.
Okay. Anyway, the July issue is out. There's a happy fisherman on the cover holding a big fat brookie. And you can buy a subscription at a newsstand, or you can call it for a subscription at the office during the week at 732-4880. And check out our website at sportingjournal.com. And you can also check our website, and we have a complete line of free digital subscriptions for active military personnel from around the overseas. See, a couple other things. In the digest, the Schoodick Lake Bass Tournament concluded this afternoon, and I think we're going to hook up with Rachel McManus.
She's with you.
Hi, Rachel. Hey. Hi, Rachel.
How are you?
We're doing well, thank you. How about yourself?
Good.
Hey, how did the bass tournament go at Schoodick Lake this weekend?
We did very, very well. We had 33 boats, which is an improvement from last year, so we're really excited about that.
Great. Who was the big winner? Who won the $2,000 purse?
So our winner was over 26 pounds of bass.
Oh,
that's
just
crazy.
Wow. That's a lot of bass. Yeah. Do you have a name?
Yes, it was. I do not have the names right in front of me, and we also did not get the permission to say it on the radio, so I'm not going to do that.
Oh, golly, I want to find out if there's anybody I knew. Okay, so the winner...
We'll post it on our social media, though, tonight. Later tonight, we'll post it on social media.
Oh, okay.
So if you follow our Facebook page, you will get to see that. And then we also had our biggest fish was 4.04 pounds.
Mm-hmm. And what was that?
Bass?
That was also bass, yep.
Oh, that's a big bass.
Mm.
Wow. Okay.
It definitely was.
Yeah. So the total poundage of the winner was 26 pounds.
Boy, oh
it
boy.
It was over 26 pounds, yeah.
The Thomas boys were in on that?
They might have been.
I bet they were. Yeah.
So how many bass did that constitute, that 26 pounds?
Seven.
Seven. So I divide seven into 26. That would be an average of, what, 3.5 pounds per bass?
Yeah, that's pretty good size for bass.
Yeah, yeah. And how about the...
They know what they're doing, those guys. I'll tell you, they're pros.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Rachel, come again?
I said it was a pretty good lake, pretty good day on the lake fishing, that's for sure.
Yeah, and you had nice weather for the whole weekend. That's great.
We definitely did.
Yeah. Now, on the day before the bass tournament, you had a cornhole tournament, and I understand there was a big purse for that as well, right?
Yes, yeah. We had our cornhole tournament yesterday. We had 26 participants for that, which is also a large improvement from last year, so we're excited about that. And first place for that was $1,000 sponsored by Harvey RVs and Colbert Trailers.
Wow.
So big thank you to them.
Yeah.
So and OGT, Operation Game Thief, was also one of our sponsors for our cornhole tournament.
Oh, great. And nobody got hurt by a beanbag or anything?
Nope.
<That's all>
Good. Oh, well, that's great. Congratulations to you. Now, all of the proceeds from this tournament went to a veterans project, right?
Yes. So we are still tallying up, but our best kind of guesstimation on our total contribution will be over $7,500.
Oh, wonderful. Good for you. Congratulations. Well done.
Very excited.
Well done. That's great.
And it will be going to the Maine Veterans Project. They're based in Bangor, and they got to come today and kind of speak at our bass tournament, and we're very excited to be working with them this year.
One last question. How many boats did you have in the bass tournament?
We had 33.
Ooh, wow. Oh, boy. That's a busy, busy time in the lake. Yeah.
It definitely is. Yep. I also have one other thing I would just like to kind of inform you, if you don't know, and inform your listeners about. For anybody that hasn't seen or doesn't get the Maine IFNW emails, of course, we all know there's proposed rule changes to fishing and hunting and all that kind of stuff every year. But one of the proposed rule changes for the 2024 year applies to bass tournaments. And let me read this here so I get the correct wording.
Okay.
So the exact wording is bass tournaments are not permitted in any waters within the northern zone, i.e. Aroostook County, Piscataquis County, Somerset County, Franklin County, Oxford County, north of the Androscoggin River, and Penobscot County, north of Route 11 and 157. So that would put an end to our tournament. We are in Piscataquis County on Schoodick Lake.
Well, that's bad.
What in the world did they, how did they come up with that cockamamie idea? What's that all about, Rachel? Why are they doing that?
As far as I am aware, the reasoning for this is because they're trying to manage bass as an invasive species population. But I feel, and a lot of our participants feel, that it doesn't really make any sense to you know, ban bass tournaments just because you want to manage them as an invasive species. It's not like we're putting fish in the lake that we're not already there.
Yeah. Well,
we're not adding to the population at all. So
no. It's you shouted the alarm. We'll all be hearing more about this, I guarantee you. I'll be writing about it, and we'll dig into it, and we'll find out what's going on.
All they have to do is tell people not to throw the fish back in.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we appreciate your input tonight, and great to talk with you. And again, congratulations for all the good things you did up there. And we'll stay tuned and see what happens here with this bass rig, okay?
All right, thank you so much. You guys have a great night.
Okay, you too, Rachel. Thank you. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that's interesting. We'll have to get somebody from IFMW to come on and defend that position.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Will be heard about that, I guarantee you. Okay, one other thing here before we get to Bob's Fishing Report. I want to remind you again, if you are a deer hunter, you know that you have until August 15th at midnight, I think, to get your to fill out your application to be in the doe permit drawing. You have until August 15th at midnight. So you might as well get that done early if you'd like to have a doe permit this year. You're not going to get anything in the mail. You got to be active. You got to do it online, and you can do it at the IFMW website anytime between now and August 15th. On that note, I think we should bring in the band, Norm. Bob's waiting for his music.
He's waiting for the music. I had to find the band. They were outside.
Where was the band?
They're outside.
Oh.
They just came in.
Yeah, they're
I'm the big boss bass.
Yeah.
And you work for me.
Yeah.
This is my rock.
Yeah.
So what in the heck is going on in the fishing world?
Well, let me tell you, Paul. Do you know, have you ever heard the term milfoil?
Yes, I have.
You know what it is?
Yes, I do.
It's an invasive aquatic plant species.
Precisely.
And it's invading a lot of our lakes and destroying plankton, which is, of course, the little bait fish, like, you know, chub shiners, ticklebacks. All the bait fish feed off plankton, and they're destroying plankton, and it comes right up through the fishery, as you know.
Yep.
And it destroys the big fish, too, eventually.
Yep.
And it's a terrible thing that's come in there. It's worse than lupine or purple sluice stripe or any of those things.
Yeah.
This is terrible. It's bad business.
Yeah.
Well, it's invaded Big Lake down to where Grand Lake Stream flows into Big Lake.
Oh, has it really?
Down in East Maine.
Yeah.
In Princeton area down there.
No kidding.
And they're having an awful time with it. It's been in there for 4 years now.
Has it? Yeah.
And a lot of the groups down there have gotten in on it.
Yep.
To try to clean it up. And they're still working hard on it. And the Passamaquoddy tribes are in on it. The state of scuba divers. Maine Guides Association, it goes on and on. There must be a dozen to 15 groups down there that really taken a hold of this thing and have done a real good job. Of course, they'll probably never get it cleaned up completely, but they have thinned it out quite a bit, and it's probably pretty difficult for the plant to get a real hold on the lake now.
Oh, good.
So they've done a great job on that. Now, to get rid of this thing, there'd be a lot of it spreads very easily, as you know.
Yes, I do.
It sticks to outboard motors and the bottoms of the boats and everything. And we would recommend that you check your boat and your motor, spray it good, maybe even with herbicide or something, to make sure you're not going to spread it from one lake to another, because it's very easily spread. They do to get rid of the thing. That's something else again. They also use different kinds of herbicides and sprays, too. That helps, too, along with netting.
Yep.
So it's a job, but it's being done down there, and I thought that would be interesting as a topic for tonight.
All right. Very good.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate that fishing report.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Our guests, again, if you joined us late, are John and Will Altman. They run a company called Hunting ME. They guide hunters, and they also have a great new series of videos out on hunting, some of the best I think I've ever seen, and we'll be talking to them, find out how they do that in just a minute. Right now, though, we have a trivia question. I'm going to ask John to read the question. It's right there, John, in boldface. He doesn't have his glasses. Okay, I guess Will.
The old man can't see anymore.
Yeah, I guess Will.
Yeah.
I guess Will's going to have to read the question. If you get an answer to the question, Bob has agreed to give you one of his hand-tied flies.
I certainly will.
And do you have the question, Will?
Yeah, I got it here. I don't know if I can read it all, but let's see. A rare endangered wild plant called a Furbish lousewort. Is that what it is?
That's correct.
Is only found on the edge of one river in Maine and nowhere else in the world. What is that river?
Okay, 1-800-966-1039. Ponder that, and we'll be right back. Okay, we have some calls lined up to answer the trivia question. Our guest tonight, one of our two guests, Will Altman, is standing by to judge the veracity of your answer. And we have a caller. Good evening, caller. You're in Main Outdoors. Go ahead, sir. Ma'am.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Not too bad. The question was, what plant was found on a specific river in Maine? Is that what the question was?
Yeah, a rare endangered plant called a Furbish lousewort is found only on the edge of one river in Maine, nowhere else in the rest of the world. We want you to tell us the name of that river.
I'm going to say the Sheepskit.
You say the Sheepskit River. We'll ask Judge Altman. What about that, Judge? Is that the right answer?
That is not the right answer.
Okay. What is your first name, sir?
Darn it. First, Chris.
Okay, Cliff. Sorry, no cigar, but we appreciate you playing the game.
That's no problem. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, we have another caller lined up. Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Maine Outdoors.
Hi. Hi, David from Oakland.
Okay, David, what do you think the answer is?
I'm going to say Aroostook River.
Say the Aroostook River.
Yes.
Okay, we'll ask Will, is that the right answer?
It is not the right answer again.
Okay, nice try, David, though. You're getting closer.
Yep.
All right. Okay, David, thank you, sir.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Sorry.
All right, we're still looking for an answer. We want to, Bob Lehman is dying to give you one of his famous, highly coveted streamer flies. If you know the answer to the question, we want you to name the river. It's the only place in the whole state of Maine, in fact, in the world, where they have this endangered plant called a Furbish lousewort.
Do you have another caller?
Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors.
Yes.
Yeah.
The answer to that would be the St. John River.
Hey, we got a winner.
Okay. All right.
St. John.
Hey. Yeah, we thought we'd never get a winner. What's your first name, sir?
My first name's Ted.
Okay, Ted, where are you calling from?
Amity, here in the county, right next to the St. John River.
Oh, yeah, the headwaters of the Haynesville Woods Road.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to drive that when I was a kid before 95 was put in.
Right, me too.
And drive that in January, you take your life in your hands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good,
it's
Ted.
Not bad now.
It's not. Hey, congratulations. You have won one of Bob's fable flies. Now, are you a fisherman?
I am a fisherman, yes.
All right. Bob ties all types of streamer flies. Do you have any preference? Or you want Bob to surprise you?
I won one a couple of weeks ago, and what I won was the olive oil, so I'd like something different.
Okay, we'll send it to you. I'll think up something for you. It's really nice.
Okay, Bob will have something for you, okay?
Yeah, I'll put it in the mail tomorrow.
And you need to stay on the line so Norm can get your mailing address, okay?
Okay.
All right, Ted. Again, thanks for playing the game, and have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
And stay on the line, huh?
Okay.
All righty. That was the correct answer. The St. John River, the only place in the world where they have the Furbish.
What do you call it, the lousewort?
Louse wart.
I think it's called a loose wart.
It is?
Yeah, a louse is a louse.
A louse? You think it's a loose wart?
Loose wart, yeah. I've always heard it. Now, I may be wrong, too.
You know? I think you're wrong. I'm willing to bet you a Snickers bar that it's pronounced louse wart. You'll take me on?
I'll tell you what I'll do.
Snickers bar.
I'll tie a special fly for you and throw in a golf ball. If I'm right.
Okay.
If you're right. And
if I'm right, okay. And if I'm wrong, I will... Well, I'll have to think about that.
All right, you think about it.
I may give you one of my shirts.
Really? No. Okay. Prize that. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anyway, we'll check that out and we'll have an answer next
framed.
Week. All right. That was the correct answer, the St. John River. Okay, we're going to, I think we're going to take a break, commercial break, and then we're going to get to our guests. Again, our guests, if you joined us late, are John and Will Altman from Brooksville. They run a farm down there, and they have a big business going, and they do a lot of guiding, hunting guiding. And we do have a caller before we take the break, Norm?
Correct.
Okay, let's take it. Good evening, caller. You're in Maine Outdoors with John and Will Altman. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, good. Thank you.
Got some strange sounds in the background.
I want to call in real quick. had a couple comments about the any deer lottery. It's you said the August 15th was the deadline, but it's actually August 1st.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's
and, the 15th, the day of the drawing.
Oh, the drawing's the 15th. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you clearing that up.
That got me last year. I thought it was the 15th.
Yeah.
I went in on the 3rd, and they told me it was too late.
Yeah. But well, that's the first mistake I've made this year, and I appreciate you calling me on it.
All right.
If you believe that, I got a bridge down here. I'll give you a good deal on.
What's the other thing you want? What other points you want to make?
Oh, I just wanted to thank Bob Lehman for I won one of his flies a few weeks ago.
Thank you.
And that got me into fly fishing, and I caught my first trout on my birthday last Sunday.
Oh, all right, congratulations to you.
Well,
you'll be hooked forever.
I should say.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. All right, let's take a quick profit break, and we'll be back with the Allmans. You stay with us right here on Maine Outdoors. Okay, if you joined us late, we're back with our guests, John and Will Altman. They live in Brooksville. They have a business called Hunting ME. And before I start throwing all the questions at them, get them busy talking to you, I wanted to do a little promotional preamble. I started watching some of the conventional outdoor videos, I don't know what you call them, the outdoor shows. And I'm an avid hunter, but I was kind of turned off by it. They don't really represent the reality of the hunt that I know. It's just they seem sort of gratuitous, and there's a lot of rock music and stuff. Anyway, then I saw yours, and I was really smitten by the quality of your videos, the way they represent the reality of the hunt. Just you're doing beautiful work, really excellent. I would commend anybody to check them out, and I'm going to give you a chance to promote that in just a second. But anyway, you're doing wonderful work. It's quality, really. I can't say enough good things about what I saw. They held my attention, and they just have an authenticity that's wonderful. Good for you guys.
Thank you very much.
That's nice to hear.
Listeners may not know you. They may not. Maybe some have never seen your hunting videos. So let's start by explaining, you guys can share the load however you want to do it. I'm just interested in telling our listeners how you get into this and what your mission is.
Well, great. Will and I are sharing a mic here, so we're rubbing shoulders. So we'll both probably jump in and get a chance here a little bit. But Hunting ME is really an expression of a passion that we have, a very strong passion for the outdoors. It shows itself in many ways. Filmmaking is one of them, but we are also registered Maine guides, and we really do enjoy taking people into the woods, helping them with helping them build skills to get closer to the goals that they want to achieve. So we love it. It's easy for us to do because it's in us, and that's sort of how we kind of came to the name, the brand, Hunting ME. It's hunting in the ME is sort of, it refers to Maine, but it also is taking the hunt within ourselves, which is the ME. So it's a wonderful way for us to kind of share the outdoors with everybody.
Yeah, I think we started about 3 or 4 years ago now. Actually releasing films on YouTube. That's where where you can watch the stuff. And it was really just a sort of a goal of ours to share a bigger picture. You know, like you were saying, the hunting industry and just sort of the other content that's out there doesn't speak to everyone. And Maine has a lot of heritage and a lot of old school values and things like that, and we just wanted to share it that way, and it shows in our delivery as well. We're not putting out a film every week where it's just a bunch of stuff all the time. We're trying to release things that actually matter, like real quality stuff.
Are you the videographer, Will?
I'm a professional cinematographer. I've been doing it for 10 years professionally all over the world.
Oh, have you?
Mostly in the hunting space, both like documentary and also commercial. So like you might see a commercial on, Sunday Night Football. It's Shields or something, and I shot that. But I don't film necessarily all of Hunting ME stuff. We have friends and we all can run cameras, so it just depends.
Well, it's very artfully edited as well.
Yep.
I mean, it's really, I was amazed. Very professional. Who does the actual editing? Who decides what's going to go in and the sequences and so forth? Who does that?
Well, one friend of ours, Nick Weikert, he does a lot of our post and also films. But on the channel, there would be, I mean, I've edited some. Nick's edited some. We have another friend, Forrest. He's edited some. So it's just kind of a collection of all of our efforts, you know. We don't necessarily have just one set in stone editor and filmer and all that.
Yeah. I've seen, I guess I've seen three of your videos. The one that really caught my attention, and I can't remember the name of it, you can probably tell me, the one about a bow hunt for moose was fantastic. I mean, as a hunter, I was just on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, that was The Dream.
Yeah,
and
it was called The Dream.
That was the name of that film, was The Dream, and it was exactly that. It was one of those sort of like we lined all the dominoes up, and we let the first one go, and they all fell. You know, and it doesn't always happen that way, which is a story to tell in itself. But that particular hunt was very much that way. That was Forrest. Forrest helped us with that. He did all the editing, and he was one of the main cameras on that, and Nick was on that too. And it's kind of comical. Sometimes we'll just be in motion, and we're literally passing the camera off. You know, we all run the camera, and I think that's kind of why we get the content that we do, because it's really not about one person. It's generally about a group of people, and that's what I think is one of the really interesting stories to tell is a group dynamics.
Have you entered any of these in any competition, national competition?
We have. We've done a couple of entries into the Badlands Film Fest, and we've been chosen on two different occasions to be. We're selected feature films there, and that's an incredible experience in itself, because we get to go to a theater packed with people that have not seen our films before, and they get to see it for the first time. And as content creators, to be able to feel the energy in a theater. And to listen for the silence, you know, like we build anticipation and we add in humor. And so when all of a sudden people are laughing when you want them to laugh, and they're quiet when you want them to be quiet, you feel the energy in the theater. And that is just an extreme high as a content creator to be part of that.
Yeah. Who is the hunter? I'm trying to remember the hunter in The Dream.
That was me.
That was you.
Was me. My wife drew the tag.
We somehow managed to pull two tags in 2 years in a row. So
really
so we have two moose hunts, and one dad was the hunter, and one I was the hunter.
Describe, John. I'd like every hunter listening to see this video. Now, if somebody wants to see it, it's called The Dream, and they have to be online to see it. And what would they go to Hunting ME?
Yeah, they would go onto YouTube and search Hunting ME, and then we would pop up, and there would be several films to choose from, but The Dream is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to think how, you know, we all care about the heritage and the legacy of hunting, and we want young people to carry it on. We're concerned about it. I'm trying to think how, when I think about some of the crummiest outdoor shows I've seen, and then compare it with the quality of what you've done. Is there some way, because anybody who watches this would get such a refreshing look at what the hunting legacy is really all about. It's not what you see on these TV shows that I've watched. It isn't. And you guys do that so well. Is there some way that IFNW could publicize these and use them for conservation education? I'm just thinking as I'm talking here, but
IFNW has been very supportive.
Have they?
And it would be great. I would love to see them use the dog tracking piece that we did, just because a lot of hunters don't realize that you know, we can use dogs to track mortally wounded large game. And, you know, we did a piece that really exemplifies that and shows that. And I just, as new hunters, it would be great to expose them to that.
Yeah.
As well as other, some states don't allow it at all, too.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because there's a lot of hunters that could benefit from that.
Yeah, we've had Susanna Hamilton and Lindsay Ware, right?
Yeah.
We've had them on the show, haven't we, Norm, a couple times, right, Bob?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have, yeah.
And they are quite a team. Mm-hmm. And I did accompany Susanna on one tracking scenario, which was is fascinating watching that little dog work.
Yeah,
and you guys got in depth with that. That's what I like about it. You took the time to build it, and it was just...
Yeah, some of these films, you know, they take months, if not even years, to put together.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the last track is the name of that one.
And yeah.
We've been talking about that and working on that project for a year.
Have you? I believe it.
Yeah.
That was really well done. Great. If you have a question for John or Will, what's the number, Bob?
1-800-966-1039.
And we have to check with Engineer Norm. Are we behind track here on our commercial breaks?
We're about 4 minutes out to the next break.
Okay, and is this the general appliance spot? Or?
Correct.
Okay, so we have one spot left, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Going back to that moose hunt, you were the bowman, the guy that...
I was, yeah.
Moose. For people who haven't seen that, again, I want to convey people, if you are a hunter, even if you're not a moose hunter, if you're just a hunter, you got to see this video. It's fantastic. And it builds, and it's got all the qualities of an authentic hunt. Tell us a little bit, tease our listeners a little bit with that, John. How did that work out?
Well, it was... I'd love to say it was a classic moose hunt, but, you know, they don't always end that way. I was fortunate to get, you know, within 10 paces of a 50-inch bull with a bow and arrow. And it took some time to get ourselves in that position, but we managed to get there. It was, you know, I didn't have Will, who's here with me right now, but I didn't have him with me on that hunt, which was a difficult time, but he was filming another hunt. He was just a few miles away from me in the woods, and we were talking to each other on our in reaches, and we were saying, yeah, if we steer these hunting parties in the same direction, we might be able to see each other, you know, but I had Josh, which is Will's best friend growing up and part of Hunting ME, a big part of Hunting ME, shows up in a lot of the films, and he's been really instrumental in kind of conveying the message. And he was with me, and he was doing the calling. And then I had my youngest son, Rye, there, and my wife was there, and we had two people running cameras. We had Forrest and Nick. So it was a big group of people to get that close to a significant animal like that. And I think that was probably the biggest challenge, you know, was to lug all those cameras through the woods and to be quiet and then to hunt with a bow.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, it's tough enough to stalk, but to have a camera team and all the things that go with that, that's got to be a challenge.
It's tough. It really is tough, and it's hard on the group, and sometimes they don't understand why we're doing what we're doing, but it's all part of the hunt, you know, so.
I remember the segment where you had the moose calling, but you had a wind issue.
We did.
And you had to do a big circle around or something,
we
right?
Did. We did. The wind shifted on us, and we happened to catch it right when it happened. And we didn't move much. We moved about 30 yards. We just swung around a little bit. And if we hadn't done that, I don't think we ever would have brought that moose into range. He would have winded us. And we might not have even ever seen him, to tell you the truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bow hunter. I've kill a few deer with a bow.
Great.
But I would not, I don't know what the right word is, audacity is not, I just wouldn't, I don't think I could handle, you know, a big critter like that with a bow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Is that the first time you've killed a moose with a bow?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I waited, you know, many, many years for that permit. So
yeah.
It's not an easy thing to draw, which we all know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think an arrow is a very effective means to kill a bull moose. It really is. If you place it properly, it does the job, and there's a lot less shock. I don't really think that moose really knew what happened. I think it felt a pinch, and within about 70 yards, it laid down and died within, you know, probably 3 minutes.
Yeah. It's incredible. That must have been quite a moment for you.
Yeah, it was. It was a milestone.
Yeah.
And then we drew, the irony in it all is we drew the following year, I actually drew a tag because I was a sub-permittee on that hunt. So then I drew the tag and gave it to Will, and that's our most recent film that's out right now, The Gift.
Oh.
So that was last year that we filmed The Gift.
The one I saw was The Dream.
The Dream,
Yeah.
But so we have The Gift out, which is another great film, which is kind of hot on the post right now.
Yeah. So how many of these hunting videos do you have in the can now?
I'm going to let Will jump in here and talk to that.
Well, in the can, we don't have anything waiting, but we've got, I don't know, probably 15 or so on the channel. 12, 15.
And they're all available online?
Yeah, they're all on. Yeah, if you go to, you know, YouTube and you search Hunting ME, and then the best way, you know, some videos will pop up on the page, but if you actually go to the channel, you can look at all of our videos, you know, the Hunting ME channel. And that's the best way to, you know, scroll through them.
Okay, you ready for the curveball?
Sure.
All right, curveball is this. These outdoor videos that I've kind of put down, every 20 seconds is a commercial. Somebody's selling a broadhead or somebody's selling a pair of binoculars. I didn't see any ads on yours.
Yeah. How
do you get away with that?
Underwrite
the cost.
We basically internalize it. We started down that road in the beginning, you know, trying to grab some sponsors and you know, figure out how to afford it more easily. But it started to sort of erode our authenticity, and we it just didn't seem worth it to us to go down that road. And they were asking for more and more content, which starts to sort of degrade what we're actually putting out. It's hard to consistently put out lots of content that's actually of quality and actually matters.
Yeah.
So we just basically turned all that down and said, we're going to do it ourselves.
So there's no economic benefit for you guys doing these hunting videos?
No, they're all out of pocket it's all pretty much on a friend basis. It's either out of pocket or people are coming and just as friends to film or help or. Yeah, there's really no. I mean, YouTube, I guess, monetizes us slightly. We get a couple bucks on you know, ads or whatever. But it's not. We're not making any money.
Yeah. Well, that probably explains why I enjoyed it so much, because the flow is never interrupted.
Yeah.
And the cadence and the pace. I don't know anything about making movies, but I know something I like, and I love these hunting videos, and I'm gonna look at all of them before I'm finished here.
We appreciate it.
And speaking of profit breaks, this is probably a good time for Bob Lehman to tell you about General Appliance and Brewer.
I certainly will. And General Appliance and Brewer right now is open again, and they have off-grid living made easy, they say, at General Appliance Services, with gas ranges, gas refrigerators and freezers, gas lights, and composting toilets.
Ride the wave, baby.
Where's Norman on that one? Norman.
Oh, he
I said it.
You missed him.
We missed Norman.
He said it. Ride the wave, baby.
Must be talking to somebody else. I don't know.
I
ride the wave, baby. Right, Norman?
That's correct.
Okay. And this is a new business now, you might say, is now owned by and operated by Gary Coleman, who has been doing service work for General Appliance now for 35 years. Nothing has changed. Still has serving up the first class customer service. Come visit them at their new location, just two doors up from the old place at 103 Center Street in Brewer. Can't miss them. And they also have parts, service parts for all your needs and off-grid needs and all electric needs, I might add.
And Gary Coleman used to work for Al, who sold the place to Gary.
Yep.
And Gary's had like 30 years experience repairing
35.
Cervell refrigerators. So if you've got a camp and you've got an old Cervell that's starting to go in the fritz, give Gary a call, right?
Absolutely.
You bet. What is the number there?
The number is 989-3714.
All right. General Appliance and Brewer, they've been making this show possible now for, I don't know, 20 years plus. Okay, we have a caller standing by who may have a question for John and Will. Let's take it. Good evening, caller. You are on Maine Outdoors.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to Maine Outdoors.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I was just interested in a fishing question. Earlier this season, one of my friends was fishing and caught a landlocked salmon, and it was full of eggs. and I always thought they spawned in the fall. And why would this salmon be full of eggs in the spring?
What was the question?
The question is, if you have salmon that had eggs in it in the spring, and he always thought salmon spawned...
Leftover from the fall. Yeah, it happens a lot.
Oh, does it?
They don't get a chance to get rid of all of them. Some never get a chance to get rid of any of them.
Yeah.
But they'll just rot and they'll disperse them, you know.
Okay. So,
they never get, you know, any chance to hatch
all
or
right.
anything.
See, this is how educational this program can be, right?
It is. It's very educational.
Happens all the time.
Anything else on your mind tonight? You have a question for our guests?
No, but once I was fishing down Grand Lake Stream at night, and there was only one other person crazy enough to be fishing up there, and it was Bob Lehman.
No.
I can tell you a couple of things right now.
Yeah, you sure wasn't, Norm?
You can still catch fish in July at Grand Lake Stream, especially this year, because the water is a lot cooler than it usually is, and there's a lot of flow. It's 300, I think Norman checked it out, and it's 391 feet per second.
Yeah, that's good.
So there's a lot of water going through there. The fishing is still good, and it will keep on good for another week or two, I would say.
But let me tell you, caller, if you're on that stream after midnight and you run into some guy, it will not be Bob. It'll be Norman. It'll be Norman Plord, who always likes to, we call him the Phantom Fisherman at Grand Lake Stream. He likes to fish in the moonlight when nobody else is around.
Kicking and screaming when he comes in.
Right. It's either going to be me or Bobby.
Yeah. All right.
The Barn Special.
Barn Special, you name it. That's good.
Barn Special, yeah.
All right, thanks for the call.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, take care. Night. Yep, bye-bye. Okay, again, if you have a question for our guests, it's 1-800-966-1039. And we're talking to John and Will Altman, who are guides who guide all kinds of hunters in Maine. And they also have a great new series of videos. And the website is called Hunting ME. Are there any other of these videos that you can talk about?
Sure. Yeah, well, we've got, there's deer, turkey, bear, moose, so there's most of all species, you know, that we have here in Maine. And we've got some great deer hunts that some of them span, you know, years and years of chasing a single animal, you know.
Is that right?
Big bucks, yeah. And that's really what gets us going the most is big bucks, yeah. And some of them we've got 5-6 years of history with and finally, you know, sealed the deal. So it could be pretty emotional when that happens.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Will. I know you've filmed and hunted over the world. What kind of exotic hunts have you done, and which ones did you like the best?
Sure. So basically right out of high school, I started filming. Basically, Dad and I were filming each other, just hunting our own hunts. And so this would have been, 12 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And that quickly sort of grew into this career for me where I started filming other people. And really where I got going was filming Donnie Vincent. He's a sort of hunting personality. And he does high-end work, kind of similar to like what we do.
Yeah.
But his genre is all over the world. You know, it's a lot of Canada and Alaska and big game. And
yeah.
So I filmed him for 10 years, and I still do. But it's starting to bring a little bit more of that to home with Hunting ME. But I've hunted in Australia and Patagonia and all Alaska, all the way across to Canada, all the lower 48. So definitely have done a lot of hunting and a lot of fishing too.
Are you a bow hunter exclusively, or do you gun?
No, we do both.
Both, yeah.
A lot of bow, a lot of gun, both. I have no real qualms either way.
Yeah.
Whatever's.
What's your favorite type of hunting?
I like Canada, Alaska, and Maine. You know, Maine, I've had an opportunity to basically move or live wherever I wanted in the U.S., and I've chose to stay in Maine. So I really do enjoy hunting here. Big woods, whitetails is really special. That's hard to beat for me. Chasing, big old deer that are, 8-10 years old, and, stuff people nobody ever sees.
Do you have any offbeat ideas for videos that you haven't tackled yet that you're thinking about?
Let's see. What do we got? Something we've talked about for a long time is building like a cabin somewhere and hunting from it, doing a series about that, you know. And,
yeah, that would be great.
That would be cool. And something like in the northern woods and, you know, big wood stuff.
Yeah.
You know, tracking. We haven't done a lot of tracking videos. We're on the coast. I filmed Hal Blood tracking. There's a video called Brutus where he shot a big deer a couple years ago. A lot of people saw that. I think it's 300,000 views now or so.
Oh, I've checked that out. That's on your website?
It's not on ours. It would be on the Big Woods Buck site. So I filmed Hal Blood. We tracked a buck for 2 days.
Oh, that's a Hal Blood
film, yeah.
Did you?
But I did the film and edit on that.
Oh, you did? Yeah. I didn't realize that. So you work with him a lot?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Hal and I, we've done some work together, guiding and hunting.
He's a nice guy, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've been on their podcast before.
Oh, I didn't realize that, yeah. I thought you looked familiar.
Yeah, might have been it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We do have a piece that we are kind of working on now, but it's one that's going to take probably 2 years to build out. It's called Nick and Me, and the ME is really, you know, it's Maine, you know, represents Maine, but it's really also about us teaching a middle-aged adult who really was not exposed to hunting in any way to sort of come to the light and learn the art. And we had him this spring. He actually engaged in his first hunt, and he killed a beautiful turkey. And we're going to kind of take him through the motions. We're probably going to be working on a deer hunt with him this fall. But this is our videographer, Nick, who I'm talking about, and he he'd never really spent a night in the woods, you know, and so we put him in a cabin, and we left him alone in the woods. We picked him up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a boat on the lake, and we took him on a turkey hunt, and he killed his first turkey. Oh, so we got off to a good start, and I think we're gonna keep building that piece. But you know, he lives in the city, you know, and but that doesn't mean he can't hunt. You know, he just needs to kind of find the path to get there. And we find that we have a lot of this happening where we have these middle-aged adults that they just kind of had their head down. Maybe they didn't pay attention, you know, when they were a little bit younger.
Yeah.
And they want to find their way back to kind of their roots. And that's one of the reasons why we got our guide's license, to help to work with people like that. Yeah.
Well, good for you. I guess we got about a minute or so left. Before we leave, again, if you want to see these YouTube videos, you go to Hunting ME online, right? Just put that in the Google box.
Just put it in Hunting ME.
Yeah. Google YouTube is where you're going to really pop. The videos are going
to
pop up.
Just go to
YouTube and Hunting ME. Yeah.
YouTube and Hunting ME. All right. I want to thank you both for being here, and I commend you again. I know it sounds like I'm buttering you up, but I like what I've seen, and I want to watch more of that stuff. And I don't usually do that. I don't pay much attention to those outdoor videos, but love the stuff you're doing. Good for you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Great work.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Paul and Bob and Norman. It's just, you guys have been doing this for a long time, and it's really great to be here with you.
Yeah, well, so keep up the great work.
Thank you very much.
And we hope to talk to you guys again maybe sometime, have you back on.
That'd be great.
All right. Thank you. Next week, Bob, our guests are going to be Greenville fisheries biologist Tim Obrey.
Ooh, that'll be interesting.
And he's one of the guys that's heading up all these bass changes, so we'll put him.
We'll put him on the line.
His heat to the feet to the fire, right, Norm?
Yeah,
right.
It's a good time to do it.
Yeah. All right. And we hope you'll be around. How's our clock doing?
We probably have about 25 seconds.
25 left. Seconds. Okay, Bob. Anything you want to say in 25 seconds?
The fishing has been really good in a lot of places with all this water.
Yeah.
It's cool, been fantastic. Cool. And the water is cool, too.
Right.
We found that out down at Branch Lake, didn't
yes.
we?
Yes. Oh, I went in today.
Did you go
after
in?
After my walk.
How'd you find it today?
I was cool. I was the only one in. It was cool.
Cool is a good word.
Cool,
right?
Yeah. All right. Thank you for being with us here at Maine Outdoors. Don't forget to check out the Allman videos, and we'll see you next week right here on Maine Outdoors.